You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
This is scheduled as part one, but what we don't like to do, Don, we like to be transparent.
No, you do like
to. I like to be
transparent. I like to be devious.
We did part one, and we did it for 35 minutes until I realised I was on mute. I know I've explained this to people, so we're going to try and do this part one and pretend that we haven't spoken about any of these topics to one another.
You said you can't pretend.
No, that's right. That's why I'm telling people.
Well, I tried to get you to pretend. Why have you changed your mind an hour later?
Well, so I'd...
And you're worse than a woman.
And if we discuss things that we've spoken to Ben Fordham about or whatever, pardon me, but I like to tidy things up from the previous podcast we did last week, because we have, believe it or not, I have direct message people who want to speak to me, direct messages, hundreds of them, which I've
really
never, ever seen. So I'm apologising in advance. People want to speak to you and they have a DM, a direct message, and if you accept that
what's
you...
What's that on? Facebook or something?
It's on Instagram, I think.
Okay.
And if you press a button, you see a whole lot of people who wish to speak to you.
Oh, right.
And then you say you just decline or you accept the fact that you'll speak.
I was talking to a young lady no more than half an hour ago, and that's how she met her current boyfriend.
That's
on Instagram.
Right. That's right. So I'm,
how would you do
I'm
that?
Apologising to the hundreds of people who contact us, you and me, but me because I'm the only person that has the platform. I'm apologising if I don't get back to you. I've only just realised that I can have a chat to you on direct message. And if you think I'm ignoring you, it's not on purpose. It's the fact that I'm technologically inept. But I read all the things, and some of them are very good comments. Some of them say we're dickheads, and that's fair enough.
Really?
Well, they don't really say we're dickheads. The people who want to direct message you don't say you're dickheads. But, mate, people think we're dickheads. There's plenty of those.
Hey, listen, I just got a message too.
Yes.
My soap is on the way from America.
Well,
I've got a photo of it as well.
I can't remember, Don, if I have
it's called
already,
Lava.
I can't remember. I've already mentioned this in one of Lava. The shout-outs. I did say that there's a man called Greg Zieldus.
That's him?
He's from Oklahoma. And Mick Christian
sending his name over.
He's sending the soap over.
Hey, there's a box of 24 soaps.
Oh, that's
do you want some?
No, I don't.
You work on your cars.
Gritty soaps to...
Yeah, well, you work on your cars out here. You like to wash your hands.
After
you finish.
I don't, Don. Thank you.
Gee, that's fantastic.
And
hey, thank you very much, Gregory.
Oh, that's right.
Well, he's listening.
In Oklahoma, he'll get this if we download this properly. We did do the shout-out to Stuart and Andy and the man in... Florida, in Auckland, there's cap orders going to people in Auckland and Florida. Now, Florida is where the latest Grand Prix was, the Formula One Grand Prix, which is so boring. The lead-up was fantastic, but like most F1 Grand Prix, they're really boring. Thank heavens for Mr. Westerwood.
Westercott.
I'm sorry about that.
Andrew
Westercott, who put on a great Grand Prix here 6 weeks ago. And you know what makes great Grand Prix is if there's an accident. We need to have accidents, not people getting injured, but we need to have accidents of the front three cars so that the rest of the race will be competitive, because it is illogical and stupid.
Why the front three?
Well, because they get out ahead of all the others.
Or the roads are too narrow, or the track's too narrow?
No, the cars, there's so much difference in the speed of the cars when you consider they're billion-dollar businesses. The lowest car that Oscar Piastri, our greatest driver, McLaren, he drives, He is a second slower a lap, or second and a half slower a lap than, say, Verstappen, who's in a Red Bull. Right. And a second and a half in a Grand Prix is about the length of the straight.
Is that right?
And they don't quite get lapped, but they make them a farce. So we need accidents up the front to get rid of the quick cars, so that the rest of the field, if there's 20 in a race, so that the 18, that the top two that get put out through an accident, we just need the top two, the rest of the 18 to be competitive. And so the reason I mentioned that is that this man's from Florida. So this is the cap orders going out to people in Florida. Now, last week...
Now, hang on, just on the American theme, this is a bit of a shout-out as well, but we have an Australian show jumper who's 19, representing, and I don't...
Man or woman?
Woman. Her name is Zoe Brown, and she's representing Australia in Canada in what's called the Nations Cup. And I would say, and I stand to be corrected, but I don't know of an Australian 19 years old who has represented Australia before in show jumping.
Oh, don't you, Donna? Would be
she was born in America. She was born in America, but her parents are Australians. They're Victorians, and they're now domiciled in California. But she's going up to Canada to Thunderbird. I think it's near Vancouver somewhere, and she's representing Australia in show jumping. So well done and congratulations, Zoe.
So you reckon she's the youngest here?
All she needs now is a father to spend some of his money and buy her a decent horse, because she is a very, very good rider.
So what do we say about show jumping as far as international sport goes?
What do you mean?
Well, show jumping or horse riding is the only sport, I'm not sure...
Where men and women compete on an equal term?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say
eventing?
That...
Hmm? Oh, well, in all horse
sports.
What did
you say then?
Eventing, three-day eventing.
No, horse activity is about the only sport in the world where men and women, biological men and women, compete on as equals.
And I would say that the women are taking over the racing industry as far as jockeys go, unless they change their weights, because society is getting bigger and the men are getting bigger, or we're all getting bigger, but women aren't. Naturally smaller, and they can ride at the light weights, and there's a lot of women riding.
So clearing this up for all the people who direct messaged me and told me this, that last week you said that you were contemplating life, sitting on your porch down at Mornington, looking at the sky, and thought a meteorite one day is going to hit the earth and that's the end of the ball game. And I said, do you know that people, scientists and people and astronomers over in America and the rest of the world, they keep an eye on rogue meteorites and they get a year's notice if they're coming towards
Earth.
Yeah,
but what about the size of the bloody thing?
They get a year's notice that they're on track to hit the Earth, and they take remedial action by sending up rockets, either landing on them or exploding them. And I showed you an instance where they'd done that, and you said, bullshit.
It depends on the size of the meteorite, please.
The bigger, the better.
Bigger, the better.
Well, the bigger the meteorite, the more easier it is to locate it and land something on it and blow it up or nudge it offline so it misses the curvature of the Earth. Now, look at me as if I make this. Do you think I'd make that up? I did show you pictorial evidence in the on the machine, the Google machine, that scientists already do that. So that was one thing people confirmed that I said was true. And the other thing was, you said the line across the circle in AFL football had been there when you were playing football and when I was, and in the 60s and 70s.
No, I didn't say 60s, 70s.
Well, I don't want to be pedantic, but it came in 1980.
Yeah, okay, righto. I apologise about that.
And then you said you couldn't get a run-up because they restricted people because they had two circles.
No. I didn't play in that system. We didn't play in that. That came in.
Yes.
So I think Simon Madden was responsible
for that. 2005.
Simon Madden was responsible.
The second circle.
Yeah.
And
that's ruined the art of ruck play. Both things have ruined the art of ruck play.
Well, that's subjective.
No, it's not subjective. It's a fact.
It's a fact,
John.
That's your opinion, Don.
It,
An opinion can neither be right friend, or wrong.
My friend.
Me?
Yes, oh, my friend. The art of ruck play has gone. They used to jump once and position their bodies.
Yes.
They do not do that at all. They infringe every time. They hold.
Is this at the centre bounce?
At the centre. They grab one another. That's why they jump early.
There.
The line was put there because two guys wrestled.
That's right. Now, so they weren't allowed to jump on their merits.
But that was a knee-jerk reaction after one grand final or one final series.
Who was it?
It was Dempsey.
And Moore.
And Moore. Now, that took the artwork out because you have a jumper and you position yourself around the circle accordingly. And anyway, that's enough. That's why football's... And they're talking about going international with football. Football's losing me because everybody's got to justify their position. They're talking about it now being international.
Yeah,
it will never...
Never, ever.
Never, ever...
That's why they...
...go
those.
International because it was evidenced... I took an American to the football for a couple of weeks, tried to explain the game, and they said, but hang on, you said this last week. Oh, well, it comes back to a thing called interpretation. A lot of rules are interpreted differently. And there's no black and white. That's why it'll never go international.
What about the ludicrous experiment of playing the games in China some years ago? Sending Port Adelaide and the Crows over to play in games over in China. Talk about worshipping the almighty
fix up
dollar.
You just got to be satisfied that it's going to be an Indigenous Australian game. And that's as far as... If it does take off... Well, that's terrific, but it will not take off if you go across and try and promote and convert people because they've got their own thing. They're not interested in England, in our game, America, they're not interested.
Did you notice Mr. Joyce and Mr. Joyce who have now left Qantas?
They're going away on his $25 million salary somewhere.
They're going off on their honeymoon.
Jeez,
maybe
$25 million that man's getting.
Well, Mr. Joyce, I'm not sure which one of them.
Who sets his wage? His salary.
Maybe it's performance-based, Don.
Oh, mate, please.
If you turn over $1 billion, you'll get 25 mil. I don't know.
It was in trouble when he took it over, Qantas.
Yes, it was. Maybe because of COVID. But Mr. Joyce has now banned, he's banned the Australian Financial Review from being in the Qantas lounges.
Why?
Because they were critical, they're uncomplimentary of Mr. Joyce.
Really?
And Mr. Joyce's husband also said he would join him in banning them. And so you can't read the Australian Financial Review. Mr. Joyce has banned it. But they'll probably bring it back because he's now given way or made way for a woman... A biological woman to be the head of Qantas. We mentioned that last week, and I said it was always going to be a woman. You said she might be the best person for the job. I said absolutely, but if it wasn't her, it was going to be the second string person who had applied, and she was a woman as well. So it was always going to be a woman. That was my only point, and they might be the best people for the job, of course, Don.
Now listen, there's been a thing going on about this, the ramifications of the COVID injections. There's been a bit of a thing and, people are suing, I think, the Australian government or the TGA or something along that line. And one thing came up, I heard it on the news, and I just wonder, I had AstraZeneca, and I'm telling, the tips of my fingers are numb on both hands. And that was a symptom, they said, what are you showing me your phone for?
I was showing your friend Russell, who had a
Russell Coit
replacement ankle put in. He sent me a text. We were discussing that. Okay. Was it?
Now listen, I just wonder whether these fingertips of mine—they're numb. I thought it might have been carpal tunnel, but I've had one hand done because of carpal tunnel. Whether it's a result of the AstraZeneca injection, because they said that on the news. One of the many symptoms was numbness in the fingers.
I'm tempted to read out the whole list of things that the medical profession have said about the injections, which they have now confirmed that we have been taken for a ride. I could read them out, Don, and I might read them out to Dr. Ben when he comes on the line from Sydney.
Why?
Because this is how we have been hoodwinked about the... the ramifications of the...
Well, what about we get a guest on next week? You can
well, okay, who will we get on?
Well, ask the doctor. Doctor, the man we played football against, Robbie Peterson.
Okay, well, you get him on. Mm-hmm. I was just finding what they said about AstraZeneca.
Now, the other thing, while you're flicking your fingers through that, I spoke to a worker, a contractor who works on roads, and you know I've got a thing about the state of our roads, especially in the country, and the contractor said to me, which is very, very interesting, that the roads in the country, when they actually make them, are 300 deep.
That's 300 deep?
300 deep.
Mils? Yeah, or centimetres or whatever?
Now, the city roads...
That's a foot.
Okay, now the city roads, you know what the how thick they are? 900. Now, why would you have 900 roads in the city, 300 in the country, when you've got those big heavy transports?
Cost.
Yeah, but hang on, the big heavy transports are the things ruining the road.
Now, you ask me why, I'm telling you well, cost. Isn't I'm not that, saying it's logical.
Well, why isn't there any logic in that? Why are they doing it for cost or what? It's ridiculous. No wonder the roads, how many accidents? My truck is being repaired at the moment after my trip to Queensland because of the roads.
Are you going
They're in such bad state.
This is. I'll just quickly read these out. Tell me to be quiet if you're bored with it. These are this is what they said. It was never proven, and this is why it was a farce, the vaccine. It said... Masks do no more harm than good. There was too much hand sanitizer is bad for the skin. Bottle shops are not safer than retail shops because you could buy grog at retail but not bottle. Lockdowns were destructive, leading to economic and physical harm. Almost all COVID rules were entirely pointless. Government fines were illegal and they're now being refunded. Quarantine centres were a waste of time. You couldn't stop the infection by getting a vaccine. You couldn't stop transmission. You couldn't prevent death. You couldn't quarantine the virus. You couldn't make places safe with vaccine passports. You couldn't stalk the virus with an app. And there were severe and unexpected restrictions to the vaccine. Curfews don't work on viruses. They are the things...
So where did you get that from?
That's from a study that the medical profession have put out. And because Twitter banned them from putting misinformation...
Hang on, the medical profession, I thought they had to be compliant.
I'm just saying, because Twitter and Instagram wouldn't let you print those things because they said it was misinformation because it was a political witch hunt into making those pharmaceutical companies famous and profitable.
Don't delete that.
You weren't allowed... to say those things, and now because it's been lifted as a virus, they can say all those things. World Health Organization are not saying it because
they said something. Yes, we had no longer in danger from COVID.
They said that, but the World Health Organization had their hand in their pocket with Big Pharma. That's how the whole of the vaccine industry started and spawned multi-$1 million for the people who run those companies, and the medical profession were precluded from writing stuff. Stuff like that. Robbie Peterson was in here, doctor. There was someone else in here, another medical man, who said exactly the same thing. They are all banned from saying those things on Twitter because they said it was misinformation because it's a political rort. We'll get that man in. Come on, did you notice, Don? I don't know if you've heard of two blokes, and I only mention this. There's a bloke who used to play for Melbourne called Strauss. I'm not sure what his first name is. Was it Andrew?
Didn't he compose?
Yes, he did. He
Austrian?
But I don't think the Austrian was the man who played for Melbourne.
Responsible for the waltzes, wasn't he, Strauss?
Yes. And James McDonald, I think, played. Yeah. And they've had a bit of a fracas because they sold a business called Get Swift, an app where you can track your goods or something. And he got paid $15 million, it is said, Mr. McDonald, and didn't split it with Mr. Strauss. And he's absconded over to Florida, Mr. McDonald, and they can't find him to give him a summons to appear in court. My question to you, Don, is if you left Australia with a passport, why couldn't you be found anywhere in the world, because you'd eventually be recognised by someone? How can you disappear?
Well, you said it'd be easy. You could just go to some little town somewhere and live there in the country.
On the contrary, Don.
Why? What do you mean on the contrary?
The smaller the town, the more likely you are to be recognised. Because people would say...
But you could just say you've lived somewhere else. Why would they?
Well, because they'd say, here you've got an Australian accent, mate. Where are you from? And you'd say, I'm from Botswana. So, no, you're not. You're an Australian. I can tell by your accent.
You could be a New Zealander.
Well, the New Zealand accent's not the same as...
As you have been overseas, I've been mistaken as an American.
Fish and chips.
What?
Fish and chips.
American, you idiot.
They're going to the chicken counter. You ever been to the chicken counter at an airport? They say, where do you want Kentucky? Say, no, the check-in counter. You go and check in. That's how they say it, chicken counter. You know, why do, you know...
I said that was a fellow that actually counted chickens. Chicken count.
The joke is trying to think of the line here about I can't think of the joke. I've been put off today, Don, by the fact that we did this. This is the second time we're doing this.
Geez, I hope you're in better form next week.
So very, very careful of people in New Zealand now. Very careful. The sheep are very careful of people over there because they got used to this.
That's old.
What is it?
About sheep.
No, yeah, what is it? What's the joke?
Well, it'd be something about inference about New Zealanders rooting sheep.
Well, the line is, Don, that the sheep have become very wary of people over in New Zealand now because they've got used to the sound of zippers. So the farmers over there are wearing kilts now, so they sneak up on the sheep, and you know when you pull your zip down, it goes zzz.
Oh, does it?
So if you've got a kilt, you just lift it up and go whack. And that might be the same man who's got the coconut oil on the tampon. Did we mention that already? Or
the gerbils or gerbils? Now,
you said shubras. Sherbras. You said sherbra.
No, that's
gerbil is a thing. And the man's put coconut oil on a tampon because he wanted to feel like he was a woman because he's transgendered, but he hasn't got a vagina, so he stuck it up his bum. How would that make you feel like a woman? Well, mind you, Don, I'll take that back. Now, you said that you would like Russell Coit to come in. I'm not sure if we've discussed this already. We probably have, but if we're discussing it again. And I said, Russell Coit, you know, is not a real person. It's a man who uses that as a stage name. And you looked at me and said, no, I've seen Russell Coit on television.
On YouTube.
I said, yeah. There's
giving
plenty
tips
of
about the bush. He's a bush.
That's
a bush artist.
That's right. Well, do you reckon the bloke who played Strop on the Paul Hogan show?
Did
you reckon that was his name, Strop? They said, here's Strop, and he used to come on with the life-saving hat.
Yeah, what was his name?
Yeah, okay.
Well, Connell.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. His name was Strop. You never said to me, I'd like to interview Strop. You'd say, I'd like
to
interview...
Well, Strop, unfortunately, has passed away.
Has he?
Yeah.
Strop?
I'm sure.
What was his name? Doesn't matter what his name is. Oh, I didn't know that, Don. So you couldn't just fade into the ether if you wanted to be not found. It's impossible. Wouldn't matter where you go to Siberia, you go to Russia, someone would eventually say, you're an Australian, aren't you? I can tell by the way you speak and the fact you know nothing about the country you're in. That'd be you all over. You got anything else? You said you had 100 things if we did this again, because I've exhausted all my topics because I already spoke to them when I was on mute. So give us some more topics that you've got there. Go on, bring up the fish or the truck or the bad roads.
What fish?
I don't know. You said there were hundreds of fish dying and, oh, the Herald Sun got onto it. The Herald Sun got onto Ian Law.
Yeah, that was good reporting.
It was good reporting 6 weeks after we did it.
He's been in hospital recuperating. Yeah, it was a good follow-up. Well done, Sir Herald Sun.
What
a remarkable story.
It is a remarkable story, and we did the ABC's coverage.
He's a very good player, Liberty Law.
Was he?
A very good player.
Did you play with him?
I did. At the start of my career, the end of his career.
Right, Don. Come on. Now's your chance to. So, did I tell you they play in the didgeridoo after the roar at the Tigers games?
Your friend went to the footy. Come on.
My friend went to the footy. My friend got naturalised, and they said there was 60.
He's another friend.
60,000.
What do you got? Two
Aborigines have been here for 60,000 years. That came as a shock to everyone. I thought the Malaysians and the Philippines and the Brunei people and the Singaporeans and all those people were here before in 60,000 years ago. And then, of course, convicts came out here 250 years ago and built the country what it is today. I don't know why they don't mention that every now and again. Thank those people for turning up, or else we'd be sitting in a field somewhere doing this. And now, Don, anything else, please? Come on, quickly.
No.
What have you got? Give us a look at your pad.
Give me a look at your sheet. COVID, I've told you, talked about that.
Yeah, go on. Go through what you've written down there. Quickly.
Oh, God.
I'm apologising, everyone. This has been the worst. This is our 199th, 199th podcast. This is the worst one we've done because
it just shows you
cannot rehearse these things.
Oh.
Oh, quickly.
Do you go shopping at Aldi?
What's that?
Aldi.
You did this last week.
Did I?
You dumbass. You absolute arsehat. You said
it's
Aldi.
It's cost me a fortune,
and
Aldi.
You said
I'm
you go
paying.
Past the
I'm
little
still,
trinkets.
I'm still paying.
Don, you must.
Even today, last week, I was still paying.
You must remember that we spoke about this last week, Don. Gee. You said you go past the little trinket bar and you spend $200.
Still,
and I said, what a numbskull.
2 weeks later, I'm still paying.
Yeah, no, well, you're just a fucking idiot.
Bloody got hanging baskets everywhere. Bacopa, it's a plant, it's a creeping plant, it's a little white delicate flower.
And you bought those from Aldi?
And I bought them to put in these hanging baskets.
Where do you put the baskets?
Around the house and the shed.
Rex Hunt went down there one day
and said
that you were living in a hovel.
Yeah.
And he went through and looked in your bedroom.
Yeah, I know.
He said you had the sheets standing up in the corner.
Yeah.
They were
through the bathroom. I
brittle.
Think he used the toothbrush.
All right, now.
Is he all right? How is he going?
No, I don't know. How are we going? I'm apologising again. This is the worst podcast we've ever done. So if you're listening from overseas, give us another crack next week. But we had a fantastic... We are going to speak to a fantastic guest. It was a good getting the man that we're going to speak to. He wouldn't come in. Because he said it was too, he hadn't got time to drive in. But he did speak to us on the phone, and he is one of the great success stories of Australian business. And you said, oh, I don't want to speak to him, I know nothing about it. And I said, well, go on, engage with him because he's done us a favour. All right, well, that's it, Don. I've had it.